Welcome back to Signals on 91.3. Signals Marketplace will continue next week, Saturday, 10 to 10:15. We'll go straight to this morning's conversation. I have with me Uncle Yomi. Thank you for always bailing me out. We're discussing behavior and emotional wellness. I have with me the chief consultant psychiatrist with over 25 years of psychiatric experience. She's involved in the hospital community education outreach programs, psychiatric rehabilitation advocacy, and clinical practice. She's a fellow and an examiner of the National Postgraduate College of Nigeria, NEBOSH, internationally certified occupational health and safety specialist, and an astute hospital administrator. She's the current secretary of the Faculty of Psychiatry of the National Postgraduate Medical College of Nigeria, and she's the chief consultant in charge of the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital Annex in Oshodi area of Lagos. Her passion includes mentoring adolescents and youths, speaking at seminars, conferences, traveling, and reading. And currently, she is Signal's guest, and she is Dr. Mrs. Olufunlayo Akinola. Welcome to Signals.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation.
No problem. Morning. Sorry for the short notice. It was me. So let me start confessing. Now,
it's okay.
So, well done on 25 years of experiencing different people, different mindsets, different characters. I'd want to ask that, why did you choose psychiatry? Go ahead.
Sorry? Yeah, I didn't hear your question.
The question is, why did you choose psychiatry with 25 years? That's 2 decades and a half. Why is that?
Well, I want to believe that psychiatry chose me, because by the time I finished medical school, I just couldn't fit into any part of medicine, you know? And I was just there for like 6 years, not knowing what to do after graduating from medical school, until one day, and I saw a professor. She's now a professor of psychiatry. And she was talking on the TV, and it was like, oh my goodness, how can I forget that there's psychiatry in medicine? And the next day I went to UCH, and that was how I was employed. And it sounds amazing after staying for 6 years, not knowing what to do. I didn't want to go into internal medicine. I didn't want to do surgery because I'm going to stand for long. Tedious pediatrics, you know? And that was how I was employed. I started my residency in UCH, and so the rest is history, and I've been having fun.
It's a lot of fun because it sounds that from your voice. it's a lot of fun. We're discussing behavior and emotional wellness, and in the times where any little thing we're shouting mental health. Right, yeah. I remember that, I think it was on the program some couple of months ago, and I said, everybody's always saying mental health. We need to go to, I think it was Yaba. I said, we need to go to Yaba and find out what mental health is for us to be able to understand why we keep saying mental health. So I'd ask you, ma'am, what is mental health?
Well, in the simplest form, mental health is our ability, you know, is a state of well-being in which, you know, each individual can realize their abilities, what they're good at, okay?
Yeah.
And they are able to plan, accomplish their goals, you know, be productive in their environment, either at work, in the home, in the community where they live. And of course, the ultimate thing is to have a relationship with a higher being. You know that, you know, we didn't create ourselves.
Yeah.
So in essence, that is what mental health is all about. Remember, there are some words that I emphasize, for example, well-being. Well-being has to do with the way we interact with the environment around us. It has to do with our thinking, our thoughts, the feelings that we attach to these thoughts, and ultimately the way we behave. And of course, so when we think about all that, it also talks about your relationship with others. So it talks about our social environment, social being. It talks about the physical health, your physical health, and your psychological, and how you just generally interact with your environment wherever you find yourself. So in essence, that is what good mental health is all about. And all of us must bear in mind that it's not as if we are all 100% good all the time. So we talk about it being a spectrum. At one end is zero, at the other is 100. So it's like, you know, all of us, we want to be at the middle, then moving towards 100, you understand?
Yes.
But things happen that sometimes we shift and we come below the 50. But the idea is that all of us must be able to maintain our mental health so that we are all around, you know, that 50, between 50 and 100. 100. Yes. So once we realize that, you know, you are having problems with your thoughts, your thinking, you can't accomplish goals, things are just not working out, please don't keep these things to yourself. Let's talk about it. Look for somebody that you can talk to. You have the issues at work. People are, you know, the way I look at it is that there are different perspectives to life. For example, if you want to go to a market, usually you don't have one entrance. Even if it is a shopping mall, you can't have one entrance. So there are multiple entrances. So that's how different perspectives. If you stay on your own and you keep thinking and brooding on what is going on in your life, it will appear so big, so large, then it will seem as if there's no solution. But that's not true. There is nothing new under the sun. To every issue, to every problem, there's always a solution. You might not be able to see it, but if you talk about it, yes, I'm not saying you should go and be announcing whatever is going on in your life with everybody, but at least there must be significant one or two people in your life that you can talk to.
Okay.
You know, if you don't have it, they'll say you don't have families. We all of us are very religious in Nigeria. So you must have somebody in your church, in the mosque, that you can talk to. You know, then if it's our children, talk to your parents, talk to your guardian or your counselors in school. So don't keep things to yourself and don't let it fest back. Then you won't be able to sleep, you won't be able to eat. Because you see, mental illness doesn't happen sudden most times. It's always insidious. The only time it happens suddenly is when there's trauma to the brain, anything that can cause eye fever, you know. So sudden things like that, road traffic accident, where the person became unconscious and all that. But basically, it's always insidious. So what we are trying to say, to maintain our mental health, don't let it go on. You start having, you know, perceptual disturbances, hearing people talking, they're not seeing them.
Okay. We're still on this conversation, right? You have explained that we should move from 50 to 0, we should move from 50 to 100. Now, where is that? Before I ask this, 25 years ago, how was the reception of somebody losing their mind? And now, you know, now we can be vocal about it. People can say, oh, my mental health. Right, but before then, before we started being vocal about it, we didn't used to accept it, or we didn't understand it, or we felt it was just strange, and we started to spiritualize it.
Okay, so I think we didn't understand it. Most of us still don't.
We still don't, so and because of the stigma.
Yes, because there's still a lot of stigma and discrimination against people that have mental health issues. So, and you know, it's just common that if you don't understand something, you know, you can't fathom it in your brain. Then you tend to project it outside, that it has to be something beyond your control. It's easier to do that. So people didn't understand. And when people are ill, instead of seeking help, even children that have issues, to just lock them up in the house because they don't want others to say, there's somebody abnormal in quotes in that home. So, in one essence, we are glad that it appears as if more people are talking about mental health now, but there's still a lot of, I don't think the knowledge is still enough. We are over 200 million in this nation. So we still need to do more advocacy about it. From the people that have had it and are now well, they need to talk about it. Professionals should talk about it. And relatives, the support system of people that have had mental illnesses, should come out and talk so that, you know, you can call, go for treatment and you get well. Because look at, I had somebody in my family, the person is doing well now, being able to go to university, as you know. So we need to do advocacy, more of it, particularly from the three angles that I've just talked about.
Yeah.
So the acceptance is better, but we are not yet there. For example, even we that we are psychiatrists, mental health professionals, all of us, psychiatric nurses, these occupational therapists, psychologists, we still have a degree, particularly doctors, we still have a degree of stigma against us.
Mm.
Anywhere you go and you say that you're a psychiatrist, they look at you. Unit of medicine that you could have gone to.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose to do psychiatry? So you see that the stigma is still there.
It's still
but
there.
We still continue to talk.
But why do you think the stigma is still there?
Yes, I think our cultural beliefs in this part of the world.
Okay.
Our cultural beliefs, our religious beliefs. So I believe these two are the major barriers to people accepting that. Yes, there can be emotional and psychological problems. It doesn't have to be secondary to demon possession or jazz from home. The grandmother or the stepmother or my father that is, you know, doing it. You know, that kind of
person.
It is our belief system. So we need to continue to talk about it and say that, you know, there are actually real causes, structural damage in the brain that can lead to so many things can cause mental illness. Sometimes, you know, medication, like I said, was the mother ill when she was pregnant with that child?
PTSD.
Injury to the brain. So it's usually multifactorial.
Hmm.
So we just need to talk about it, continue to talk about it. But right knowledge should be passed across to people.
Okay. Yes. Now that you're talking about the stigma, even around you, it makes me remember the one time I went for a wedding. Look, as in, and I don't know why this talk, and the alaga drew, you know, this women that would said, there is no mad person in their generation, and it did not. This is 10, 15 years ago, and it still did not leave me. And I'm like, why is this so much stigma around mental health patients, even when we don't know the factor? Right, so how then do we begin to advocate for people who now you see, even I am stuck with the right words to use for because I see them.
How do we advocate?
Yes, because I see them on the road, and I smile, and I'm so amazed at them moving from 50 to zero, and they're just there.
I think one of the reasons why the alaga must have said that to us because there are some types of mental illness that can, it is inherited.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Okay.
Yes. So if it is inherited, so there will be history that in that family, there was somebody abnormal. You know, it's now that let me put it in quote, the children of nowadays, this generation, want to get married, you do not do
findings.
You don't do findings for the family that you are getting into.
Mm.
You understand? Because if there are inherited illnesses in that family, the people around the world have known. And you know, because some can be passed from one generation to another. Huh. So that's why they do all these things. So if they notice that there's something wrong, that they'll say, go and find out that family.
Mm.
What is actually going on with them, you know? So, and like I said earlier on, the advocacy, you know, the talking about mental, good mental health and mental illnesses should come from three angles. The people that have been ill are now well, and they are now well, should come out and talk about it. We have so many people, doctors, lawyers, because mental illness can happen to anybody. It's no respecter of person. It's not, there is nothing like it's the people, poor people that have it, rich people don't have it. That's not true. You know, like I said, there are different etiologies, causes of mental illness. So if people, you know, for example, when HIV was hot.
Yep.
One of the reasons why everybody, you know, it became acceptable was because people that were positive and got well, their viral load went down with treatment, they could get married, they could have children. They started coming out.
It became normal.
They started talking.
It became normal.
Yes. They started talking on the media that, look, I'm HIV positive, but I'm well.
I have kids. I have family. Everything is okay.
I'm moving on with my life.
Mm.
So we've not been able to reach that. Some people are coming out, one or two patients that are well are coming out, but we need more of that. We need the family to support system to be able to say that you can actually get good treatment and care. Then, of course, the professionals like we are doing today,
yes.
We keep talking about it. Causes, how we can prevent it as much as possible.
Now, what makes a patient well? What would you say? Thank God you are the doctor here. What would you see and say that this person is certified well? What would you see?
Like all those things I've talked about. Mm. The person can now think well.
Mm.
His feelings, like the feelings is attaching to his thought process, they're not good. He's reasoning well. He can plan. He can execute it. He can go to school and remember, pass his exam. Mm. He can go back to work. And nobody will look at him and say, this person is coming from a psychiatric ward. So they go back to the normal level of functioning before the person became ill. So that is our goal when we manage. What were you doing? Okay, there are some times that can be very devastating.
Hmm.
For example, schizophrenia, because it affects personality, it can affect cognition. Okay, so you can't go back to that 100% level of functioning before you became ill. Okay, so what else can you do? So that is what is, what do you want to do? Then the treatment team will come in. Okay, we can support you like this. We get the family. This is the support you can give this individual. Because the goal of management is that this individual must be functioning in the home, in the community, and, you know, the environment, wherever they are. So that's the goal of management at every point.
Signals on 91.3, we're discussing behavioral and emotional wellness with Dr. Mrs. Olufunlayo Akinola, the chief consultant psychiatrist. What causes someone to move from 50 to zero? Some say religion, some say marriage breakdown, some say relationship heartbreak. What has been the causes that you have seen during your line of work?
You know what I'm asking?
Because most of say is half of the people that you see at the mental home are women. So somebody has broken their heart, somebody did not let them go. All of those traumas.
All of those is multifactorial. It can be genetic.
Okay.
Environmental.
Genetic, environmental.
Is the home where the person coming from toxic? Is there violence, domestic violence in that home?
Mm.
There's some factors that can predispose. For example, the state of the economy in the nation now. Everybody's worried. Everybody's thinking, where are we going to eat? Are people sleeping well?
Mm.
You understand? Are they eating well? All these can affect our mental health. So do you have people, if you look at it, people are just jackpotting.
Yes, too.
You know? People are lonely.
Hmm.
Loneliness tends to make some people do something. If your wife has gone with the children for 5 years,
huh,
you're just there. So, yes, now, 3-5 years is there. You're just there. In the night, what you do, you start going out with boys, like things you were not doing before.
Hmm.
The person might start drinking, might start using substances. Hmm. All these, if you're not careful, all these substances that are out there now, in their hemp cocaine, can cause a mental break. So you see that it's multifactorial, you know?
Yes.
So infections, trauma to the brain, anything that can cause very high fever can also make somebody to have a mental breakdown. But like I said, those are the ones that are acute.
Mm.
They happen suddenly. Do you understand?
Yes,
there's noise in my background now.
No, it's okay.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly. We can hear you clearly.
Okay.
Now, what role does family history play? Because you've mentioned hereditary. And how do we begin to check that, okay, what happened to A in my family should not happen to B or C or D? How do we begin to check?
Well, I think the only way we can check is to take a proper history.
Hmm.
So, for example, if a client comes to see me, I'm going to go down memory lane. Parents, uncles, aunties, you know, on both sides, the mother, the father. Has there ever been any history of somebody And you know, if you tell them initially, they might tell you no.
Yes, there's denial.
You know, because nobody wants to agree. But you know, they go and they see that either the patient is not responding early or the patient is and then they'll come back and tell you that actually I went back to ask my great aunt. They said this happened to her maybe after delivery. She had depression, mental illness. There was this uncle that was not functioning, or there was this nephew that went to America and came back and he was not functioning. He was just there. He would just sit on the balcony looking at people, you know, sometimes talking verbally aggressive towards them. So that's, you know, that's how we can look at it. Of course, in developed countries, you actually do genetic studies. But okay, if you take a proper history, we'll be able to get if there's any in the family.
I have plenty questions for you. How do we begin to is depression can we also say depression is mental health?
Yes, no, because it deals with your mood. Although we know that it can be treated, it is easily treated. Okay. It is treatable.
Okay.
Yes. You know, remember I talked about thinking, thoughts, feelings, your emotions that we attach to our thinking. So depression is a mood disorder that deals with our mood. So that means low mood. Then, of course, it's going to affect cognition. The person will lose concentration, attention. The person will be able to, you know, sleep well, eat well, lose interest in, you know, the things they used to love to do. So it's a mood disorder.
Where do we draw the line between religion, who says, some religion says they don't believe in depression, and you see it every day at work? How then do we draw the line between, see, there's something wrong, even though your faith is saying, you understand what I'm saying? So how then
do we
draw that line?
What I like to tell people is that I also believe in God.
Okay.
And so sometimes, like I said earlier on, if you have issues, don't keep it to yourself. And sometimes when the things begin to feel, whatever the individual is going through, becomes overwhelming, and they feel that there is no solution. So, you know, that's the significant point here. They feel that there's no solution to whatever they are going through. They begin to lose hope. And that's when the problem starts. Okay? So, and I tell people, because you're a Christian does not mean you won't have issues. Right?
Yes.
I'm a Christian, so I don't know about Islam. That doesn't mean you won't have issues. But like, what the Bible says is, if you have issues, there are always solutions. You can always get help. So it's in the process of keeping to ourselves. We don't ask for help. That problem comes in. It begins to fester, and you think that there's no solution. So it becomes like a load, you know, as if they're in a deep well. They can't find a solution out. So that's where the problem is. So because you're a Christian does not mean you're not going to have problems. Life is all about issues. But what do you do when problem comes? Do you seek for help, or you keep it to yourself? Do you understand?
I do get you. There's so much compassion in your voice, and it's so heartwarming at the moment. Now, if you have questions, comments, you can send us a WhatsApp message, 0809-234-5913. That is 0809-234-5913. Call us, 0809-191-3913. Now, someone is sending us a message, and with no name, says that, how do you make diagnosis in terms of drugs? Sometimes some of the patients will complain that the drugs are making them the drugs are not making them well. I know that sometimes complain about the drugs.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. It's not as if the drugs are not making them well.
Mm.
The point is, if anybody comes in, of course, they are so ill, you treat. And like I say, they're supposed to get better. So once they start getting better, of course, they won't need the same dose that they needed when they came in.
True.
So it's just natural. And that's why we tell them, you need to come to clinic regularly. So as they're getting better, the dose of the medication they are using should be reduced. We do reduce it, but they would disappear and stop coming, and they will still continue at that same dose. Of course, it will appear. It will now appear as if the drug is making you to be too sleepy, because now you don't need any medication to make you sleep, because all the chemicals in your brain are now fine. Your mood is okay, so you can sleep naturally. You have learned how to deal with issues, so you can sleep. So, and that's what I tell people. Once you go, you must come back to clinic. We are not saying you are still sick. No. We just want to help you maintain your wellness. So once to get better, we reduce the medication. We put you on a maintenance dose. We reduce the number. If you are using 4, depending on what happened when you came in, we can reduce it to 2 or even 1. Then, okay, so we did that and you're still having side effects. There are so many medications. So if this is not working for you, then we change it and give you another one. So it's not, I mean, you can take a medication now and you react. I can't take chloroquine because I react. I won't sleep for 3 days.
It will scratch
I'll
me.
Just be itching. It will itch and itch. And whereas there are some people, they take chloroquine as if they are taking sweets. And it doesn't do anything to them. You know? So because we are different, our genetic makeups. So this medication will work for me. It will work for you.
Mm.
So once we give you one, and if you think it's affecting you, you can't function at work, then you come back, we change it, and we give you another one.
Hmm.
But people don't come back. That's the point.
So
then they use other medication with the drug we give you. Everybody must remember that there's drug-drug interaction. These medications react with each other.
Hmm.
So once you come to the doctor, you're already on another medication, you've gone to see somebody else, you're using another medication, please come back to your doctor and say, "Doctor, my other doctor, either for hypertension or diabetes, gave me this. Can I use it with the one
drugs
you're
I'm using?"
Do you understand?
Hold on a second,
so
ma'am. Kindly hold on. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, my name is Shedi.
Yes, please. Your name or where are you calling us from?
Yeah, this is Mr. Patrick calling from Good.
Okay.
Yeah, we are at school at Enugu, CIC Enugu. Opposite the school, we have a psychiatric hospital that time. On weekend or mostly at night, they always play music for them. We see them dancing. I thought I would ask, what impact is music doing for this those who have mental? So does it give any cure, you know? I can't understand, because they only play music for them, and I see those nurses dancing with them. Thank you.
Thank you too. Now, he's asking, what's the impact of music? Hello? Hello, doctor?
Music?
Yes.
Yes, music is very, very therapeutic.
Okay.
So it's also one of the methods. So when people say drug, it's not only drug that we use.
Mm.
We use all other complements. We use even the fact that the color of your house can affect your mental health.
Mm.
The way the place is arranged. So that's where occupational therapy comes in. So there are so many things. We don't focus only on medication. So music is one other therapy, form of therapy. And you know that some people love music.
Yep.
Even those that don't love, you can encourage them to begin to listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, when you're stressed, put on music. I have people, when I'm counseling them, they're having domestic violence, verbal. Put on music in your house. As you are washing, as you are cooking in your kitchen, listen to music and dance. Dance your trouble away. You know, it gives you good feelings.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? So it's a form of therapy, and that's why they were giving them every night. Yes, it's good therapy. So we do a comprehensive thing, not just one form of managing our patients.
Okay, now away from that conversation a bit, and let's look at your journey. It's been 25 years. Well done. So it means that you have seen different, and I mean different people. When you go home at night, What does it do to you having to bear people's burdens?
Well, as much as possible, I try not to take them home.
Please drop it at the doorstep.
So as I'm driving out of the hospital, I leave everything there.
Hmm.
And that is why I have you shouldn't make it the only thing you do so that it won't consume you 100%. So I have other activities that I do, so that I don't dwell, you know,
on it.
My mind is not perpetually on it. Yes, and there are some times that you actually come across one or two cases that breaks your heart. So once that happened, what I do is I talk about it.
Okay. Would you like to share with us? Would you like to share with us one of the cases that broke your heart? It's very dear to my. So why I don't even know. The plan for this conversation this morning, let me confess, was in the past couple of weeks we've had rape cases, and for some reason when we were preparing, I said we need a psychiatrist to tell us what is going on through the mind of a rapist who will see a young person, who will see a girl or a boy, and rape children, and then you leave them traumatized for the entire part of their lives and they can't even get over it. And I just said, I remember calling Okuyomi and saying, Okuyomi, please, I need a doctor, I need a psychiatrist, please. That's how I landed here. So tell us quickly, because I know it's a bit, it's this conversation is a bit dead to my heart, because I have somebody very close to me who had to experience psychiatry, and it's been quite a journey. But even away from that, let's talk about what goes on in the mind of a rapist, that you see a child or you see a young person and you just decide that you're like you rightly said, you move from 50 to zero.
Well, I think it has to do with their, you know, their personality.
Okay.
Not that personality disorders are also under mental health.
Okay.
You know, but not that maybe they're, unless they become psychotic, that they'll start hearing voices that go and rape that person or go and, you know, and have sexual intercourse with that person.
Mm.
So these ones that are pedophiles, those are the ones that sleep with
children,
young children. I think their minds are just twisted for whatever reason. Okay? Because like you said, when you can have adult females or adult males, as it may be, so why will you go for children? Sometimes maybe they want control, you know, that these people can't talk back to them. They want to dominate them. So until you actually get into the mind of each one of them. Mm. And sometimes this thing can grow on them, because when they watch it, you know, pornography, that's why I would say pornography is not good. Because as they continue to watch it, different things, they start conjoining different things up in their minds. And they tell themselves that I'm going to enjoy it when I do it with this person. Or it's only when I'm by myself or I watch other people doing it. And that is, you know, that is not the normal trend of things.
Mm-mm.
So, and each person, they just have their minds twisted from whatever reasons, you know. Sometimes it could be, sometimes you talk about maybe the, what should I call it? The chemicals in their brain, things are just not working. But most times, it's because of what they had exposed themselves to and what they now believe, that this is what I'm going to, this is where I'm going to get my sexual satisfaction
from.
So really, we need to, talk to each person. Why, what triggered it off in you? Why did you start doing it? So, and then on the other hand, I think all of us, I had a client once, long ago, and he said, yes, these women, they will come out in the morning and they'll be bathing, all these face me, I face you houses, they'll stand in front of the house and they'll be dating their children right in front of everybody and all that. And that was where his own interest started. And he started sleeping with, 12-year-olds. In the compound where he was living. So, that means the mind was just twisted, because what is your business with a mother?
Exactly. What is your business?
A child. So why did you just carry your face away? So, but you see, these are things. And, so mothers too, really, we need to be careful with our female children. And we need to teach them. Even the males.
Yeah, so the males are very,
yes. So, and you need to tell them, once anybody tells you, don't tell anybody what I want to
scream.
Do to you. And don't tell them, if you tell them I'm going to kill you, no, it is a lie. You go and tell. Once any adult tells you at any point in time, don't tell. If you tell, something will happen to you. You know that thing is wrong. So you come and tell me. So mothers and parents, we need to begin to teach our children that, and that they should not keep, because you see, these children, inside of them, they know it is wrong.
True.
Then mothers should listen. Once your child comes to you, mommy, I want to tell you something.
Open your
ears. You should find time to listen. You know?
Listen immediately.
Don't be that they do it. Sorry?
I said listen immediately. As they are saying, you just be talking.
So even if you can't do it immediately, make sure you listen within a day or two. Then one other thing that I've come out is that when children actually report, their parents don't do anything about it. That is even more devastating for the children. So if your child tells you something that this person is doing you more, if it's a staff, you must sack that staff immediately. If it is a relative that is living in the house, you must send that person away immediately. You know, but they will say that, yes, you want to scatter our family.
Yes, sentiments.
My brother's son, that is this. What is more important to you? Is it not the life of your children? You know? So, parents, once you know, you know, and if it is the father that is doing it to the child, there's no marriage that you are saving. There's no marriage that that woman is saving. Because that child, like you said, will be traumatized for life. So, we must seek for help. You can't do it and you'll seek for help. So thank you. There's DSVA now in Lagos State.
Yes.
So you can report the man so that proper action can be taken.
I have somebody sending us a message and saying that, when do I begin to know that I am losing it? That's what the person asked.
Like I said, some of the common symptoms are the person is not sleeping well. You do not understand the thoughts that, you know, the person can't have grip on their thoughts anymore. Things become jumbled up. Then sometimes they'll start hearing those
voices.
They'll start having hearing voices of people that they can't see, or they feel everybody's against them. They can't explain it, but they feel everybody's against them. So people are standing and saying their own gisting. They say they are talking about them. They're listening to radio and TV. They say they are talking about them. So it starts with the thoughts and the thinking.
Paranoia.
And they can't sleep. Yes, they can't eat. Feels people want to poison them, and where's the, you know, where's the evidence to that? Then the mood changes, mood changes. 1 second the person we are talking, you're laughing, and the next the person is ready to cry, and you're wondering what's going on with you. You're just not happy. There's nothing. All the things you used to do before
cannot
even
happy.
Excite you. So seek for help. Then poor sleep, having serious nightmares that the person wasn't having before. So these are all the things. We all know when something is wrong. It's only that we do not know where to go to. So now we know. So please, let's seek for help early enough.
Seek for help early enough. My time is almost up. Well, here's the question. Do you think that, and I know you've answered it, but let me ask again first. Is mental health getting the awareness it needs in the country? Because we're a cultural nation, and stigma is the moment you begin to see that, let me say to you, but any teach gonna teach any year. Okay, I hope my Yoruba is good.
Yes, you tried.
Right. And people start I'm sure you understand what I'm saying.
I do. But you see, we need to, I think we need to be careful. Because, for example, this generation, this is it generation?
Z.
Don't let them laugh at me.
No, it's Gen Z. Don't worry.
Gen Z. Any time you talk to them, the next thing they will tell you is my mental health. You know? My mental health is, you know? So they're so fond of that. And I think in developed world, too, he wants to say your mental health, so I don't want to come to work for... But they say that's okay.
But you know, in the Western world, they have each company has a psychologist, a therapist that they can meet. I mean, Nigerian companies have therapists that you can meet.
Exactly. So you know, we try to get into the HR department, you know, to give them, you know, lectures or teach them, particularly the managers, just the simple common symptoms of mental illness, how to be able to identify it. We have spoken to teachers in school too, how to be able to identify this in children. So we can't stop. We are so many. So we keep at it. And thank you for what you are doing right now.
Thank you.
You keep doing it. Don't just do it once, maybe on World Mental Health Day. Do it, like we have a radio station that the hospital is partnering with. Every month we go there, we talk about mental health. So that is it. So we keep talking until everybody, and you know, incidentally, people, so many people listen to radio.
Yes.
You know? So yes. So we need to keep talking and never give up. But from not just the professionals, like I said, the patient themselves and their relatives. So that if we all come from that, the three angles, then we might be able to reach more people.
One last one before I let you go. Do you think that family supports do you think that family supports the patients? Because we've had cases of many people abandoned at the hospital.
Yes, they do support. I mean, really, Nigerians, family support. Mm. Because it's not everything that's actually, you know, subsidized by the government. Okay, so the families try, but you know, if, like I said, if they don't follow doctor's instruction, they don't go on comfort, the illness can be relapsing. That means it can reoccur. Mm. So sometimes they get tired, which is also human, you know. So, but really, we can't, if the relatives are not at work, wow, I don't know how we are going to be able to manage our patients. So we need them, and they have been very, very supportive. And kudos to all of them.
Okay.
You know, I give kudos to all of them for all that they are doing. Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to a part two with you physically in the studio. So please quickly come back. I'm waiting for you. Thank you very much, Dr. Mrs. Ebulu from Laya Akinola. Well, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's us discussing emotional well-being and health. Please don't die. Nigeria can be Nigerian. Pardon my French, but stay alive, support people. And if you know that something is wrong with you, if you know that you are not getting it, there's nothing wrong, please speak up. There's nothing, don't allow anybody. They say, I think there's a Nigerian proverb that says that they don't silence a bell. When the bell makes noise, it goes loud, right? If you need to speak up, please speak up. And when they are talking to you too, don't break confidence. Have a wonderful week till we come your way again next week, Saturday. Dream again, create opportunities for people. And if there's so many voices in your head, like I always tell my friends, please reduce the voices in here. You know the way that we reduce television, right? Reduce those voices.